The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, fresh, fabulous, feisty Friday. Feisty Friday? Oh, yeah. As we plunge into another weekend with the truth and stay connected to the good news, because we are aware that most of the worldly news that we hear is edited, forged, and intended to instill fear. Boo. That's how we speak about that. First up, people that know God and not know of God have nothing to fear from bad news because our minds are steadfast on what God is doing, not what people are saying. Next, we consider how often people think of God as absent or the cause of their evil. The answer is never on either. For God is not absent, nor is he the author of evil. And finally, it can be difficult to determine when we are supposed to surrender, but it can be more difficult to be unaware of our need to surrender. So let's make things less difficult.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. You can also text us at 214-210-8483. Somebody already sent in a prayer request, so I'm already praying for that, but I don't know if they want to make it public, so I won't make it public at this point. But you're always welcome to email me or text me. I'll be glad to pray. I'm not one of those people that think I'm going to take 25 minutes and just, you know, beat my head against it. No, I will offer it up in prayer as the Holy Spirit, as best I understand, leads me. But you are welcome to utilize us as prayer partners for anything you're going through. So we encourage you to do that by phone or by email. Either way is cool by us. We also want you to know if you got praise reports, always good to hear things that are going good. I mean, that's just a good thing for everybody to hear. And if I can share them publicly, I will. And if I can't, we'll keep it private. It's up to you. You're in control of that. Additionally, if you got a question that we might be able to answer, can't answer it on the show directly because of either timing or what we've got set up, then we'll do our best to answer it in a little bit. That's all. I mean, that's just kind of keeping it easy. And then trivia, which everybody seems to love, okay? And we have, we do a lot of trivia. So I'm just saying, you know.
No, it amazes me how many questions you can come up with.
Yeah, you would be amazed. And I've got another 3,000 questions. So anytime we just want to, and that's not even me going through and pulling out questions. It's just endless. But that's what happens when you have a treasure trove like a book that God wrote. Okay, here's the first trivia question for today. We know that Jesus did the miracle, but I'm trying to get you to give me the original source. Who gave Jesus some food to help feed the 5,000? Who was it that gave up food to help feed 5,000? If you think you know the answer, text 214-210-8483. Or you can call in at 972-445-0770 as Terrific T is ready to handle that phone. Even if it's hot, she's got gloves. She's got a warmer. She got it ready. She's ready to go. All right. Let's see. Don't forget, any topic basically is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so a couple things to tell you right away. Don't forget DNA, because I have a feeling over the next week or two, knowing the news cycle as it goes, there's going to be a lot of yucky news. Okay, just trust me. And so with that, a lot of yucky news that's coming for some people, here's the thing. If you focus on that, you'll get depressed and discouraged, and you'll be thinking about life without eternity, and that's bad, bad, bad. See, now imagine me rolling up a newspaper and hitting a dog on the nose. I'd never do that, but just imagine your nose is its microphone. Okay, don't do that. Don't look at life without eternity in the vision. It's the worst thing you can do because it gets you depressed and discouraged. On the opposite or flip side of that, if you think of eternity while you're processing, the great news is you'll understand that there is a joy in your life, and all of your current trials, as bad as they are, as painful as they are, while they may be for your benefit and other people's benefits, are certainly temporary. They are not forever. They are short term. And in fact, Paul even uses the phrase not worthy to be compared. With the eternity that's coming, your trials and my trials and our struggles, not worthy to be compared. So therefore, we as Christians DNA it, draw closer to the Lord. Always, we're never ashamed, and we're always ready. We're drawing closer and closer to the Lord because that's important. We are never ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what the world says, even if they persecute us for it. And we're always ready to respond and to be there for whatever the Lord may or may not want us to do. He may want you to do nothing all day long, but that doesn't mean you're not ready all day long, okay? A servant is always ready to hearken to the voice of their master. You can't get away from that. I'm just like, that's how it goes. Okay? All right. I'm going to talk a little bit on eschatological text. That's a pretty big word. So is anti-disestablishmentarism, but it doesn't matter. Here it is. The eschatological text, a lot of people teach on Daniel 11:32, talking about kings of the south and kings of the north. And you know me, I think if you are amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, if you're pre-rapture, mid-rapture, I don't care. I mean, I don't personally. You, whatever is good for you is working for you. Great. But I also want you to be prepared. In case the trumpet blows early and we all go and nothing ever happens, hallelujah. That's what I prefer. But I'm also not willing to lay down my faith if it doesn't go the way that I think it should go. The Lord will expand it and expose it the way he wants to, and he's the king, and we follow him. And so I want to use this text out of Daniel just to prepare your minds. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it's talking about the king, and this particular king he's kind of a smooth dude kind of guy, turning people away from the Lord. And this is what the passage says. By smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. And just stop. That's the first part of the verse. In other words, he's going to use really, you know what smooth words means? Good arguments. Really? Oh, man, that's a super good argument. It's kind of hard to argue with that. That's really good the way that person said it. It's super smooth. And through those smooth, worldly wisdom, fleshly-oriented arguments, he's going to turn towards godlessness people that have a wicked attitude towards the covenant. What it really means is if you go into Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and you talk about that strong delusions will be sent to those people that believe a lie, you kind of get what's going on here, that the people are going to be swayed. People who are acting wicked towards the Lord are going to be swayed away from the covenant, away from the Lord, and that swaying away is going to come from somebody who's got smooth, worldly wisdom arguments that moves them in that direction. But the second half of that verse says, but the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Here's the flip side of that coin. While people that have a wickedness towards the covenant will be totally snowed over, strong delusion sent that they'd believe a lie, thinking that the worldly argument is good, those that are yielded, those that respond, those that love the covenant God established with mankind through Jesus Christ, those people who know their God, let me just say this real quickly, not know of God, but know their God, will display strength and take action. In other words, you'll be immovable. Woohoo! That's fun! Yes, sir! Okay, we got somebody calling in. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I've been blessed, and the sun's shining. That's good for me.
There you go. It's great to be outside, isn't it?
Amen.
All right, my friend. Amen. We had a feeding of 5,000. Somebody had to give up something for that multiplication and that miracle to happen. Who gave up? Who gave it up?
Well, this is a guess. For some reason, I want to say Philip. I don't know why.
No, that's a good guess, though. But think of younger. Think of somebody who is hanging out with everybody but wasn't yet a disciple. Do you remember? It was somebody that had some fish and some bread. It was young boy.
Yeah,
young
tell
lad.
Me on this one, brother.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay, it was a young lad. He was a young boy, a little boy that had the fish and the loaves, and he gave those up,
right.
And then Jesus prayed over those. Remember, he took what he had, looked up to heaven, and thanked God for it, which a lot of people complain about what they have instead of thanking God for what they have, and that's why it doesn't seem to multiply very good.
Amen. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that
very
one.
Very good.
That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, that's a good.
All right, my
brother. Appreciate you.
All right. God
Take
bless
care,
you.
Chips.
All right.
God bless you.
Take care. It's hard because he's on a truck. He's trucking and he's going through through the winds. You go through that. You do that way. All right. So I want to go back to that. So it was a little lad, a little young boy. All right. So here's the real crux of what I'm trying to say in regards to this Daniel passage. People that are acting wickedly towards the covenant of God, they're going to be snowed. This is going to be, phew. Hey, I got a bridge to sell you. It's in New York. You want to buy it? You know, it's like the people are going to go, okay. That's not going to. But people who know their God, isn't that a fascinating statement? People who know their God will display strength and take action. You can't know of God. Satan knows of God. I don't know if you recognize that or not, but it's not like he doesn't believe there's a God. That's absurd. But there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. And you know how you best know God? Through Jesus Christ. Bingo! Ding, 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 ding. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Ever consider what that phrase, the way, is? There's got to be a right way to do this. That's right. That's it. There is a right way. And that right way is Jesus. That's the way to do it. Don't do it that way. Not going to go well for you. That's just how you got to say it. All right. That was fun because it was a little preachy, but a little kind of cool. Okay. Good job by Ace. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God
return the ark to Israel, that spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
What is the David Spoon experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. No, not the only Christian station, just the Christian station. Everybody relax. Text if you have an answer to this one. It'll be 214-210-8483 for the texters, and it'll be 972-445-0770 for the callers, and for the mimes, the number is... Okay. Get it? See, I got T off guard there. She was like, I got...
I'm miming. I was miming the
you
number.
You're miming me the number. See, yeah, for the mimes, they call. Okay. I'll just tell you one thing I did to one of my producers a long time ago. I was talking to him, told him that I was talking to the audience. I said, on my desk, I have an invisible puck in this casing. And he got up. I mean, literally from behind the board, like, you know where you're sitting right now, right? He got up behind, and tried to look on the desk. And he was looking, and I said, invisible puck.
Like, he had to think about it for a minute.
Yeah, kind of went right by him. You know, anyway, I just think it's hilarious. Anyhow, let's get to the next trivia question. I must be in a good mood. 214-210-8483 for the text, 972-445-0770 for the call-in. Joseph, the husband of Mary, did what for a living? Aha!
Thank God it's Friday.
Yes, man.
Thank God it's Friday.
See, I can do it too. T loves that. This is pretty good, huh? Pretty close.
This is so great.
It's so close. Okay, so if you know that answer, you can text in or call in. Oh, relax. It's Friday. Might as well enjoy yourself. Things aren't going to be, even if they get worse, who cares? I just want the Lord to go, doo-doo-doo. Although I don't think that'll be the trumpet sound, but, you know, something along those lines. I think that would be good. Let us talk about the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget on HeMustIncrease.org is a picture of that mask, the story I told yesterday about the mask and me running to grow. So I do have a picture underneath the sermon that I talked on Sunday at Stillwater Community Church. So there's a couple of different things we keep adding. It should make it interesting. If you get bored, you don't have to look at it. But if you're bored and you got nothing to do, you might as well do something. I mean, it's better than poking your eye with a sharp stick. Okay, thank you. I'm in rare form today. That's all I can say. Guess what? We got a couple of things, a couple of holidays, a couple of things to cover. Today is National Lighthouse Day. Have you ever been to a lighthouse? I mean, a real lighthouse?
No, actually, I haven't.
It's quite fascinating. And they're quite, it's beautiful. I mean, landscaping is beautiful. So
can you, like, go to the top of the?
Yeah, you go inside. You can even do some of them. You do a little tour.
Do they have an elevator in there?
No.
Ooh, yep, I'm probably going to go.
Probably not going? Okay. Today is a good line. Today is Professional Speakers Day. I guess that's me to some degree. It's National Water Balloon Day. Now, I'm from Detroit, so I don't want to hear nothing about this. But we had, the way the houses were, we had roofs, and they were kind of like at the top of the roof was kind of like two lines and then a wall, and you could duck down behind it. We'd go on the roof and take water balloons, and we were those bad kids. But it was Detroit. If you were only throwing water balloons as opposed to rocks, that you were doing pretty good. That's all I got to say. So I don't have as much problem with that. My kids never did that because I just threatened them in a very unique way. I told them I'd replace them with one that looks just like them if they did stuff like that.
It's a good one.
Yeah, think about that one. It is also Raspberries and Cream Day. Okay. And then particularly Preposterous Packaging Day. I don't know what that is. I think that's when you get some kind of package and it's wrapped up really goofy is kind of what that is. Here are the important things about today that people don't know. National Purple Heart was inaugurated today in 1782. August 7, 1782, General George Washington created the National Badge of Merit, which later became known as the Purple Heart. I thought that was kind of fascinating. Here's the big one for the day, though. Two of them. 1993, on this day, Buckingham Palace opened to the public. For $12, the visitors could go through and see Queen Elizabeth's home while they were on vacation. Boy, talk about making money any way you can. You go on vacation, then you sell. All right. And then finally, 1888, on this day, revolving door. The revolving door was patented by Theophilus Van Cannell. I could say that again and again and again, but I feel that would not be helpful. What was the profession? What was the profession of Joseph, the husband of Mary? Pretty simple. Let's get into this text. This is going to be a fascinating text for some. Keep in mind where we're trying to go with this. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. Remember, in between these two segments, there was a little bit of a discussion about the Philistine kings and the Philistine priests. This happens to be what I'm teaching on, that exact story. I'm just taking one portion of it, but it is amazing that that was played because I have no control of when those things are played. It says this, "Take the Ark of the Lord and place it on the cart. Put the articles of gold, which you return to him as a guilt offering, in a box by its side. Then send it away that it may go. Watch it. And if it goes up by the way of its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done this great evil. But if not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. It happened by chance." So the one thing that you don't hear me talk about in those short little clips is the priests of the Philistines. And in this part of it, and this is the kind of the next stage in regards to their solution. And what they're telling the kings is, send it off. And if it goes the way that we think it's going to go, you'll know that the Lord has done this great evil to us. And if it goes this other direction, then it was coincidence. That's what they're saying. Here's the problem. Both those answers are wrong. Okay? First of all, what they're saying is God did the evil. Well, from the perspective of the rebellious, it would be God's fault. But that's only if you have a rebellious spirit would you blame God. And then the other group, the other possibility they're saying is, well, if you can't blame God, then we'll chalk it up to coincidence. So they're either saying it just happened because it happened, or it happened because God did evil. Both these concepts from the priests, this is where the priests kind of turn the wrong direction. They're both wrong, okay? God has no evil inside of him, period. Okay, let's just separate light from darkness. Does God test you? You bet. Does he put you through trials? You bet. Does he put you through the fiery furnace for refinement? You bet. Does he discipline you? You bet. Does he sometimes allow earthly judgments against Christians, though never eternal judgments because they're saved? You bet. There's a refinement process that God puts on all of us, but it's never because he's evil. It's never because of miss or a wrong attitude or a wrong disposition. Everything that God allows for the Christian has purpose to be a blessing in our best interest. And everything God does when he makes his declarations and his judgments because of his holiness are to declare the unrighteousness of those it's going against. So either the people are unrighteous or God is giving refinement to his children, but it is never that God is evil. And so why is that important? Because if you attribute evilness to God, you impugn his character. And that, my friend, is a dangerous place to exist. You might be able to yell at God in a certain sense, like a child might yell at a parent, and say, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't like this. That's one thing. That's more like whining, okay? That's not even complaining. That's whining. But you cannot impute to God and his character evil. In fact, when they tried to talk about Jesus's power being that of Satan, that's when he introduced the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, uh-oh. There are some territories you can tread into with the Lord in one three-verse section. It says David was mad at God, then David was afraid of God. I mean, it's just like it's all these different emotions that go on with God. That's fine. But you don't impute to God evil ever, because that is in sync with Satan. It was Satan who did tell Adam and Eve, God is cheating you because you only get 9,000 of 9,001 trees. And they bought the lie and brought the death. It's like, no. We don't do it. We don't go in that direction. Keep in mind that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord has a race set out before us. It's not, you know, I know that there's some things that it's like, well, this could be by chance. I don't really have as much difficulty as most people do with that, except if God knows the number of the hairs on my head, he knows so many details that I would consider minutiae. I'd be like, who cares? I don't care how many number of hairs are on my head. Right now, it's very low. That's not the point. The point is he bothers to take the time to know those nuances. Then it leads me to believe, just by conclusion, just by a process of logic, you know, A equals B, B equals C, therefore A equals C, that God cares about all these little things that go on that I think have no meaning. And like we talked about yesterday, they often have meaning. They often mean something very important. And because of that, we have this greater confidence that it's not coincidence, it's the Lord. He might be doing something little. He might be doing something major. I don't know. That's not my job to know. My job is to know him and let him reveal things to me, not to tell him my assessment of his situation that he's put me in. That's a dangerous place to be, and I encourage you never to impugn to God evil. It's just a bad idea. All right, let's answer the simple question. Joseph, the husband of Mary, did what for a living? He was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. I like those cupboards. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The deterioration of the ecosystem or creation itself is definitely the result of man.
You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam, you've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Sometimes hallelujah. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you heard that commercial part there, or that what we do, the in-between parts, actually on Monday I'm going to be talking about a little bit more about the ecosystem, but kind of from a different point of view. I'm going to be talking about pollution. You're going to find out it doesn't have anything to do with an actor who wasn't actually an Indian, who had a fake tear going down the side of his face. It doesn't have anything to do with that. And we're going to talk about what God says is true pollution. You can do that on Monday. Oh, got somebody calling in. Hang on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. I was just wondering if you could touch on the current situation with the social distancing, wearing of masks, that enforcement, and how that's now in the church, and you're having some churches are enforcing that, others are not. Our church does enforce it. And I know there's many people that are staying away from church because they don't want to wear a mask. They don't feel that they can worship God wearing the mask. They feel that they're giving in to the social pressures that are put on us, even though it's not mandated by the governor, that we are apparently exempt from that in places of worship. So I'm wondering what your opinion is on all this. Where should we draw the line?
That's a great question. It's a great question. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this real quickly. It's an excellent question. For you yourself, how do you feel about it? I mean, for where you're at,
I personally have an issue with it. I would say if I was, I would make it an option available to people. You know, if you choose to wear a mask, that's fine. But you should, at the same time, you should have the freedom not to wear a mask. And don't, you know, I'm told I'm being dogmatic, but by the same person that's saying that, they're being dogmatic because they're requiring us to wear it. So
right.
I just have a difficult time worshiping God. You know, God is sovereign, and I'm just wondering if, I don't know, given all the statistics of the death rates and all, the likelihood of contracting it is extremely low, and so I don't understand why the fear in the church is so great.
Yeah,
that we, you know, yeah. I mean, we're supposed to be set apart, and we're different from the world, and we're trusting in a sovereign God, and yet we act as if we're, you know, and And the other argument is that we're being offensive to our neighbor by not wearing it. But the reality is the gospel is offensive. And, you know, if you're worried about that, then what else are you going to bow the knee to? What's coming down next? You know, the next thing it's going to be is just like a precipice for the next
thing
coming down the pipeline. So that's just, I'm just...
Yeah, no, and that's a great question. So let me do my best. I'm not going to give the definitive answer or anything by that, but I'm going to give you kind of like some insights or like my thought process on it. You're actually right on it, more specifically on what's next. And the reason that I bring that up is it's not just going to be the crucifix that people are wearing, but what they're going to, in case people have not seen it, is they're going to a place where they're going to ban the Bible in public use as hate speech. This is not new. This is not a new concept. Except in England right now, where you have the open public square where people are supposed to be able to share anything they want from a free speech point of view. You can talk about anything you want, but you can't talk about biblical positions against homosexuality because it's hate speech. So that tells you where it's going as it moves forward. But you bring up a couple of really great points, and let me just commend you for sharing it the way you did. You did it with a great spirit, and it was a very earnest and honest and forthright question. So the bottom line is, I think it is ultimately going to be up to the individual, because it has to be a person's conscience between them and God first. And that becomes the most important thing. In fact, the people that helped frame the Constitution, the people that helped put together this country, always thought that a person's conscience between them and God has to be their first position, which is why they tried to remove the idea of the government imposing or restricting or anything along those lines. And for me, I think it should be each individual towards their church. In other words, if my church said, hey, we're not going to meet this week, we're going to meet next week, and this is a church that I attend and I'm committed to it, then I'm going to go with what the church wants as much as I can until I feel it breaches my own conscience. So I don't have any problem from that point of view, from a church making their independent decisions. And just so that you know, like at our church where we attend, they've had ten straight services. So, and I even preached at the last one, which is kind of dangerous by itself. But the premise of the government, what's happening is they're deciding what is and is not essential. And this is much more of a worrisome fact than the loving your neighbor mentality. It's not that you're not loving your neighbor, you are loving your neighbor. The government is saying that bars can be open and that political funerals can happen, but church service can't happen. In other words, everybody can get together at a church and celebrate somebody who was a political leader, but you can't get together and celebrate somebody who's alive. And so it's like, wait a second, that makes no sense. And that restriction of freedom of religion is in the first part of our Constitution, not the back part. It's in the First Amendment. Before there's a right for public assembly, before there's a right for free speech, there's a right to freedom of religion and the exercise thereof. And that's being ignored. And I think what's more dangerous is that the government has that much power that within 2 weeks they shut down the church. That's a problem. And so I look at this and I see a greater divide and a greater problem. My assessment is the country is being divided succinctly and severely. And you have to acknowledge that the Lord's allowing this division, and it's people far on the left, people far on the right, people far in faith, people far out of faith. That division, remember, a house divided cannot stand. So there's trouble unless we can bridge that gap or have a greater sense of witness. In regards to you individually and me individually, if you go to the church and the church asks you to wear a mask and asks you to social distance, you should be able to. I mean, that you should be able to respond to that. But if you're really against it, you may even ask the pastor, can I stay in the back, far away from everybody, 6 feet, 7 feet, away from everybody, even 8 feet, and just worship without the mask but not be close to anybody? I mean, there's ways to get through that, and there's, appropriate ways to do it. I just think that each individual church should certainly decide it. I think that beyond that, each state should decide it, but I get pretty concerned in California, New York, and Portland when they're allowing protests but no congregational
gathering as essential. And so I don't know if you heard about the church. They had a church service. You know where they had their church service? In Walmart. They went to Walmart and they had a church service in Walmart because they said, well, I mean, it's essential to us and Walmart's open. And it was just like, it's like, that's a pretty good idea. It's like, because everybody can go into Walmart, you can go into a grocery store. My wife works at a grocery store. She's there every day. People are there every day. They tried to enforce masks, then they stopped enforcing masks. It's an amazing, you know, up and down on that process. I think that you have to decide individually. Your church has to decide. Your city has to decide. Your county has to decide. Your state has to decide. And the country has to decide. But at any point, if it breaches your conscience, you have to respond to that.
So how do you respond to individuals within the church, your brothers, that think that wearing a mask is the way to go, but you can't, your conscience doesn't allow you to do that?
But you can honor. You can honor them. You can honor them
in a bad way. You're not.
Yeah,
you're not loving your brother in that sense.
Okay, I disagree that you would not be loving them. And you can honor them by honoring their desire to wear a mask. You can support them in that. You can say, "Hey, I support you wearing a mask. I think it's fantastic that that's your comfort level." For me, I don't see it that way. If you want to go to fast food and you're really thinking Burger King is the place, that's fantastic. I think McDonald's is better. I mean, there's a place where you can give that respect and that honor without yielding your own conscience to it. And you can disagree and say, you know, I appreciate that and disagree. And for the sake of safety for your mind, I'll stay further away from you.
There you go.
And then that would be the way I would approach it. And I would be honest about it, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Does that help?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I appreciate all your input. Appreciate your program.
Oh, thank you so much. Is this the first time you called in?
First time I've called in, but I have listened quite a bit. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Do you need extra aspirin?
I need more than that.
Good answer, by the way.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. You can call in anytime, ask any question you want, okay?
We will do that. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. So, you know, this is part of the fun of live radio. I had no idea. We had no notion as where it was going to go, where it wasn't going to go. And I thought that was kind of cool. I thought it was a really honest, earnest question. You're not trying to offend people, but you're not trying to lose your own faith. Well, there's a place for that that we can all find. And that would be the way I would approach that. I think that's the first time we did a pop question that went all the way. So I didn't get to ask my trivia question today or anything. Oh, you'll get over it. Come on. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our break because we have to take our break. And then we're going to come back. Then we're going to do our trivia and we're going to do another teaching. But it's an excellent call and I really appreciate that. And if we can answer on pop questions, we will. That one just happened to work out. So hopefully those answers will encourage you in your faith and in your walk and in your pursuit. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder. See? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry.
What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me say something about that call that we just had. I love stuff like that. You guys don't understand. I know I have these teachings that I want to share with you and different things, but I love calls. I love being able to talk through and walk it through. And you'll find out that there's a lot more conversation in those type of things than there is just, this is the answer, this is the way, unless it is just clearly spelled out in Scripture. And so never hesitate to call. If I can answer that kind of question on the spot, I will. If I can't, you'll hear me say that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way I think to go about it. And in the meantime, I have this great trust that God knows what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said, and you should have that same kind of trust as well. Let's get into our trivia question. It's a fascinating one. It's funny because the third trivia question, I was like, so I get to go right to the fourth one, which is better anyway. All right, who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? There you go. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Who was that? If you know, 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the phone-in number. Yeah, we didn't. Okay, yeah. And then don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go, He Must Increase Ministry. A lot of cool stuff on there. I think you'll like it, you know. Pretty soon you'll be able to push a button and it'll print money for you. Okay, not too soon. As soon as money is worthless, then that will happen. Let's do a little bit of our Hebrew dictionary, our Yiddish dictionary, and then get into our teaching, which is a really cool one that Ray sent over the week, and I just love it. And so I think you'll really appreciate it. But let's do our Hebrew dictionary. Hava Nagila Hava Nagila Hava. All right, so here's our word for the day. Let me just tell if you heard this. Now, one thing I did do is I decided to do a little bit of extra research, just kind of like my nature, on Yiddish and Hebrew and the difference, and I got a little more clarification on that for those that are wondering. So Yiddish is a slang version of Hebrew, but it's the Ashkenazi version versus the Sephardic. And for those that don't know what that difference is, Sephardic Judaism is more Spain. Ashkenazi were more of a
converts of a whole nation that came and converted to Judaism. So that's the slang, just to let you know. All right, here we go. Pretty simple. The name of this word, and this was in my Hebrew lesson 2 weeks ago. That's why this is so funny. Punim. Punim. Not pudding. And punim. And not put him there. Put him there. That's what he said. Put him there. No. Punim. It literally means face. And actually, the Hebrew word also means front. Front. And it should and is typically used talking about the way that somebody looks, their face or their visage. You're not supposed to use this word. You're not supposed to. Let me say this. You're not supposed to use this word describing somebody that doesn't look good. So being nice to say that, right? So my dog is the – I love Levi. Levi looks like he got hit in the face with 16 shovels. He is an ugly dog. He has a punim we wouldn't talk about, just telling you. However, all six of my grandkids have these beautiful punims, and that's the biggest usage of the word to let you know, grandparents talking about their grandchildren's faces. That gives you kind of everything you got to know. You have Passover dinner. You go, oh, such an adorable punim. Okay. You are now educated. Congratulations. That and a quarter, and you still can't make a call because now it's like 50 cents or something like that. All right. Who made the clothes out of leaves? Not who made the animal skins, people. Who made the clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? I think we have somebody else calling in. Could be on the trivia. So if they're calling on the trivia, we will give that an answer. And if not, we will go to the teaching. And if they're ordering a pizza, I want to slice. I'm starving. Is this a call-in or yes? No, not a call-in. Okay. Pizza? Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. This is Ray wrote something. Every once in a while, I use Ray's stuff because some of it is just really pertinent. And he's got this one called When to Surrender. Okay, when to surrender. Does a really good job. Let me read it. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's from Psalm 139. In the Christian life, we talk a lot about surrendering, giving everything over to the Lord. The Bible seldom uses the word surrender. It is never used in the original King James Version. It is used in the New King James, in the NIV translation, a few different times in reference to surrendering to a king or a conquering power. The concept, though, runs throughout the Word of God. From Abraham to Noah, David, Mary, and others, their stories portray a moment of revelation and surrender to God's will, but all merely foreshadow the surrender of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Weeping, sweating drops of blood, wrestling with what he knew was coming, he gave himself wholly, proclaiming, "Not my will, but yours be done." That's the surrender. That's a big key. Hang on one sec as we take this call. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific today. So, yeah, I'm taking your calling on the trivia question. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of scared to say, though. Is it Adam and Eve?
That is correct! You are right!
Oh, hi!
Technically, the first seamstress and the first tailor, so to speak, kind of mentality, God had made them animal skins, but they had sewed the leaves together. I had a preacher preach an entire sermon one time talking about these leaves and saying this was the same kind of leaf or same kind of tree that Jesus cursed. Mary cursed the fig tree, and they were supposed to be fig leaves. I've always thought that was an interesting connection. I don't know if it's valid, but it's a great thought. It's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. So anyhow, excellent job. Way to do it. Way to come in at the end of the show and nail that down. Really good job.
All right, thanks, and God bless you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. All right, so see that whole fig leaves, and then they were fig leaves, and then Jesus cursed the fig leaf tree and was like, I guess man shouldn't be just trying to dress himself without the help of God. Okay, anyhow, getting back to what we were talking about on the surrender, listen to this. So Jesus in the moment at the garden, you know, said, not my will, but yours be done. That is the greatest definition of surrender. Surrender is defined as giving up, giving in, yielding. It's when we surrender to God. Now listen to this. This is where he shines. We are giving up our selfishness, our egos, and our willful defiance. We are giving in to mercy, hope, forgiveness, service, and love, and we are surrendering to a kingdom and a loving Father. Oh, that's so good. So we're giving up our selfishness, egos, willful defiance, giving in to mercy, hope, forgiveness, and service, and love, and surrendering to the kingdom and the loving Father. Isn't that great? We're giving ourselves to God who loves us, allowing him to fulfill his promises of comfort in the midst of our heartache, in the midst of our abundant life, in the midst of our joy and love and hope for the future. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, is what Paul said in Romans 12:1. To surrender is to give yourself whole, to agree with King David. There is nowhere to go without God, and only he can lead us in the way of everlasting. To surrender is to declare with Jesus, not my will, but yours. It's the only gift God desires from you. Wow. That is so good. You know, Ray is just a great devotional, passionate. He loves the Lord so much. I love people like that because it's just a joy to be around them. It's just great stuff. All right, so here's some things to remember throughout the day and throughout the weekend. As I told you, don't get caught up in all the weird stuff. I'm going to pray in just a second. We're going to pray it out on the way out. But don't get caught up in the weird stuff. Don't look at life without looking at eternity and understanding that God's a part of things. Don't let the world dictate whether you have joy or you have depression or you're discouragement. Let your strength be in the Lord. He is a rock that does not move. Let's pray real quick. Father, we just ask for everybody in the audience that you would give them a tremendous grace, a tremendous sense of your mercy, and that your presence would touch each person who's listening. We ask you to reach into their lives and speak the peace that passes all understanding that you write about in Philippians 4. We ask you to allow that peace to be active and activated in our lives as we go through the rest of this weekend. Let your blessings be declared and let your name be glorified. We love you, Lord. We do our best and we lay it all before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.